Our first storyteller is Aaron Whitney Whitmer. Aaron grew up here in Anchorage, but then left for over 20 years to explore the world, and finally came back home a few years ago with a husband and two kids in tow. She masquerades as a scientist by day and moonlights as a musician and outdoor enthusiast at other times. She took up hunting right about the same time she became a mother, and she'll be reflecting on the intersection of those two tonight. Please help me welcome Aaron Whitney Whitmer.
Thank you. Can you all hear me? Great. Good evening. On a night devoted to trails, my story veers slightly off trail, but it's one which has made me extremely grateful for trails to follow, both literally and figuratively. I've always assumed that people who grow up in Alaska learn to hunt as kids, everyone except for me. I came to hunting as an adult, and I had one of my best experiences this past fall. But it's taken me a while to reach that point, and to be sure, I still have much to learn, which brings to mind one of my first outings about 5 years ago. At the time, I had a 2-year-old and an 11-month-old, whom I was still nursing. My husband and I were several years out of graduate school, living in Boulder, Colorado. And I have to say, Boulder is not exactly an epicenter of hunting. They practically write obituaries for the prairie dogs they exterminate there. But all joking aside, I lived there for over a decade, and I loved its easy outdoor lifestyle, as well as the abundance of overeducated science geeks like myself. But I still nursed a hollow feeling from time to time. I longed for a renewed sense of connection with the cycles of land and life, and I craved more than just biking to work, using cloth bags at the grocery store, and competing for parking spots at mountain trailheads. And without an ocean nearby to replicate my childhood fishing excursions in Alaska, hunting seemed like one way I could make that connection. So I found myself sitting in my sleeping bag in the pre-dawn winter darkness in a remote area of north central Colorado. My husband was home with the kids, and I was with a friend who had a pop-up camper with a heater. How hard could this be? We weren't roughing it at all. Except that the heater had broken in the night, and I could feel the canvas camper top weighed down with new snow pressing against my head. There were ice crystals in my nose, and my fingers were numb. My headlamp illuminated a breast pump that had become only partially operable, and the remaining plastic flange was cracked from the cold. My hunting partner, Brent, was stirring in his curtained-off wing of the camper while I struggled with this barely functioning device, willing it to not break on our first day of our trip, because it would have been game over right there. And I have to say, he was a saint. He never seemed to let on that having a lactating mother as a hunting partner was anything unusual. Because women go hunting in the middle of winter with breast pumps all the time, right? At this point, I was still optimistic, and I gave myself a pep talk. Back at home, I had arranged play dates for my 2-year-old to give my husband a break. I had organized the freezer with packets of breast milk for the baby, as well as ready-to-eat soups and meals. I was a 5-hour drive from home, and a broken breast pump was sure as heck not going to stop me now. So after a cold breakfast, we started hiking along a fence line in about 6 inches of new snow, staying close to the cover of brush. I was wearing about 7 layers of clothing, just about everything I had brought. And I was bringing up the rear, hyper aware of where my rifle was pointing, still anxious and unsure of myself as a new hunter. And all my senses were on alert. Suddenly, in front of me, Brent crouched. And 200 yards below us were three brown cow elk. My heart started thundering in my ears, and I was shaking with adrenaline. I couldn't immediately get the elk in my scope crosshairs, which may have had something to do with the fact that I was shooting left-eyed with a borrowed right-eyed rifle. And I panicked as first one and then the other two animals hopped effortlessly over the fence, over to private property where it was illegal to shoot them. We sat there freezing for over an hour as we willed them to jump back over. They never did. I thought about taking a shot, and I didn't. With that excitement over, we then hiked on a ways until we came to the edge of a clearing, where we sat down to have something to eat and to catch a few fleeting rays of sunshine. And I saw movement off to my right, and we immediately became still, and Brent used his body to block motions with his hands, signaling for me to cut over to an adjacent old road cut while he tried to call the animals closer. So I crept over to the road cut, readied my rifle, and then heard the raking sound of my Gore-Tex pants brush against each other. You guessed it, so did the elk. I had blown it again. I pretty much felt like a neophyte at this point. I didn't feel like any match for these animals, and after the events of the morning, I was starting to question whether I was even cut out to be a hunter at all. So with my confidence flagging and the fatigue of the morning wearing on me, I hiked off to relieve myself. And I'm not sure why I hadn't noticed this earlier, but I discovered that the undergarments on the lower half of my body were soaked with blood. I had not menstruated for 3 years through two back-to-back pregnancies. And my body had chosen this moment of all moments to resume that activity. I was not prepared, and I was pissed. Elk hunting is already hard enough by itself, at least for me, and on top of that, my body was now completely out of my control. I started crying as I tried to clean myself with snow. Thankfully, the Gore-Tex pants, which I had cursed earlier, now covered my soaked and, by consequence, frozen undergarments. Did I mention I was wearing all the clothes I had brought? You can see where this is headed. I felt like a fool. I felt reduced to just a weary, worn-out new mom who couldn't handle anything beyond day-to-day existence, let alone hunting in sub-zero temperatures. I somehow made it through the rest of the day, but I'm not exactly sure how. After we made it back to the camp that night, I again spent a cold night in my sleeping bag. We never did get the heater to work. I somehow coaxed the breast pump to limp reluctantly through its routine. We tried again the next day, but I was reeling emotionally, and I knew it was time to quit. It seemed inappropriate to tell Brent that I was bleeding like a wounded animal. So I vaguely told him that I had a gastrointestinal bug instead. And we packed up and went home. As we were sitting in his truck that night, I felt battered and exhausted. My fingers were cracked and bloody from the cold of an exposure. But as I was staring into the bright holes of our headlights shining in front of us, I had a realization. I felt more connected to the rawness of life than I had ever felt before, which was the very thing I had craved. I was giving life while trying to take life, and it was completely out of my control. I was stripped bare. And it occurred to me that maybe that was the ultimate connection, to feel powerless to the cycles of land and life, to stop pretending we have control over our lives, and to stop holding so tightly to specific outcomes. I may not have gotten my elk, but I reclaimed a connection to something far greater, myself. Thank you.